stop taking cues from other people and set what's important to you first, and then find other people whose values might overlap with yours, and then follow those people.
Welcome to the Insurance Refocused podcast, where we're highlighting real agent stories and how they are innovating to respond to the changes and challenges happening in the independent insurance industry. My name's Lindsay, and I can't wait to introduce you to my amazing co-host who just so happens to be my mom, Carrie Wallace. Mom, how are you doing today?
Lindsay, I am having a fantastic day. I am super, super, super excited for this podcast. I've been waiting for a while, and I love it. I cannot wait to jump in. So today, I get to talk to someone who might think about money more than I do. Today's guest is Eric Garcia, who is the owner of Garcia Insurance Services, as well as Plan Wisely. Eric, thank you for joining us on the show today, my friend.
Carrie, I am happy to be here. I've been looking forward to this as well, and I do think a lot about money. In fact, most people don't realize this, but they probably spend at least 80% of their waking day either working for money, thinking about money, arguing about money. In some way, shape, or form, money is touching every single part of your listener's day. So I think it's really important that they think right about it.
Yeah, I love the idea that we're going to help shape how to think about money, not necessarily the way you do today, right? So we could talk for hours and hours, and we actually decided as we were planning for this that we're going to do a series. This is going to be our first ever series with any guest because there are so many topics that I think are incredibly important for our listeners to have strong personal financial strategies that marry with their business strategies. Obviously, I focus on agencies' business strategies, but it's so incredibly important to have personal financial strategies that make sense. So today, I'm super excited to talk about one of those topics. You and I both know we are in the insurance industry, right? We all three know that there is a ton of people transitioning ownership. We have 40,000 independent insurance agencies. We know that 20% of them are going to transition at least 20% of ownership in the next 5 years. And it is happening faster and faster and faster with the hard market, with challenges with hiring, with all those things. So if you are an incredibly talented person, you're in the right industry to become a future owner. But the question is, how do you do that? Right? Like, what do you need to do that? Let's just start there. And then we've got some serious questions for you, Eric. So why don't you just talk about what you think about that?
Ooh, yeah. Tremendous opportunity in the insurance space. I was kind of birthed into the insurance space. My dad was an agent when I was born. So I kind of grew up in the space. I started off as a captive. So there's just a tremendous amount of opportunity down in New Orleans. We've been through like hard markets, like New Orleans is just a hard market, right? It doesn't matter what's going on with insurance. It's just a hard place to do business. It always seems like there's always something that's challenging here. Hurricane storms, rate increases. Now that's kind of creeped across the entire nation. So when I have conversations with someone in Ohio now, right, they understand the stuff that I've been complaining about. In fact, Bradley Flowers and I, we've talked about that for years. Like, you know, everyone's solving problems for everyone else. Solve all our problem on the coast. Our market's hard. Help us. Give us tools. Give us resources, carriers. And now finally people are starting to pay attention. So there's tremendous opportunity in this space. And what you're talking about is new future agency owners. How do they position themselves for success? And I think that's really important. This really applies to anyone. Like, opportunity is out there. It abounds. The question is, are we going to be prepared to take advantage of it or not? How many opportunities pass us by because we're just not in a position to take advantage of it for multiple reasons? Financially, we're not prepared. Mentally, we're not prepared. We don't have the right mindset. So I think that's kind of what we're going to talk about here. So yeah, this is a tremendous, conversation.
I'd love to kick it off. So a little background on me. We've only met in person once. It was at a big conference. So I don't know that we got super deep into me and who I am. I know I didn't get super deep into you and who you were, but I am 24.
24.
You're at that age where you can't remember.
I'm around 24.
Exactly.
Mid-20s. I obviously work full-time, so I make a salary. I do this podcast, and I produce a couple other podcasts. I do some marketing on the side. I do like a whole jumble of things. If I stick to one thing, I get bored. So I like to stay busy unless I'm sleeping, and then I'm, you know, sleeping. So I have a lot of things going on, and I will be the first one to tell you, I am literally money illiterate. Like, I know nothing when it comes to anything. When I started taking on like side things last year, last year was the first year I took on any like side things. I'm like, okay, do I have to start an LLC? Do I have to have an EIN number? Do I have to have separate bank accounts? What does all this crap mean? And I ended up just doing W-9, mom. Is that what it's called?
We have different strategies for different things that you're doing. That is correct. Yes. So she's 1099 in some, she whatever. But basically, Lindsay is the entrepreneur. She is the producer, the entrepreneur, like perfect example of this, right?
And I like it. Yeah. But when it comes to like managing actually money and talking about like setting yourself up for the future, I have no idea where to even start. So what's your advice for someone like me or someone who, you know, is a producer in an agency right now and looking to potentially get to a place where they're buying it? Where do you start?
That is that's a great question. And I hear this a lot. I don't even know where to start. I don't know. I'm financially illiterate. And I always want to give you probably more credit than you give yourself. You probably know more about money than you think. Here's the problem. You start talking about like, do I form an LLC? Should I make an S corp election? What investment should I buy? And I think a lot of that's noise. I think that's noise. And those are important. I'm not saying they're not important things. They are important things, but I don't think that's going to determine whether you're going to be financially successful or not, because you're an LLC or a sole proprietor or an S corp or a C corp. Like, I've seen success across all those corporate structures, right? Did I buy this investment or this investment? Did I have 3 bank accounts or 5 bank accounts? Like, I've seen success across all those different things. I've seen people who don't know the first thing about investing in the stock market have success investing in the stock market. So first thing I would say is put all that aside for a second. Let's just put all that, what you don't know, the stuff that you think is going to impact you from being successful in the future. I think that's head trash. That's noise. That's something that sometimes might become an impediment. So the first place I would start with anybody is you have to sit down and determine, what are you trying to accomplish? What is your purpose? It sounds kind of so, I say cliche, maybe it's not cliche because I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. But like, you got to sit down and write out what's important to you. Why is it important to you? And then every decision you make has to be made in light of that purpose, if that makes sense. I had someone once tell me, you know, I want to travel. I don't need, she said, I want to travel. I don't want to stay in hostels. I don't need the Ritz, but every now and then. Well, I love that. It's a simple statement of purpose, right? I like to travel. It's important to me. I don't want to stay in a hostel, so it's important for her not to have to backpack it. But she doesn't need all the luxury of a Ritz, but maybe every now and then, right? So something simple as that purpose right there, she expressed the value, travel. She expressed the value. I don't need all the fancy stuff of this brand per se, but I want to travel. Right. Other people will say, you know, family is really important to me. Like, I want to make sure I have time with family. I don't have a family yet, but I know that at some point I'm going to have a family. When I have a family, I want to make sure that I have the freedom to spend time with them. Now, a lot of people say that. Here's where I see the problem come in, is they don't build their businesses that way. They don't stop long enough to say, okay, and family is important to me, but I'm spending 16 hours a day building a business. Is that consistent with this value of family? I mean, community is important to me. Am I spending time in my community giving back. Well, no, I'm making a lot of money so I can write big checks. Well, maybe. Like I'm of the opinion of if something's important to you, start doing it now, right? If your health is important to you, start making healthy choices now, healthy decisions now. So you need to start with that purpose. What's really important to me? What are my values? Is it community? Is it travel? Is it, there's any number of things. You know, some people like building big businesses, right? They like resourcing people to be able to have success, and that's cool. So if that's the lens in which you want to make financial decisions on, then your business model is going to look very different. So here's what I would say is stop taking cues from other people and set what's important to you first, and then find other people whose values might overlap with yours and then follow those people.
So step one, we have the values. So if I'm a producer in an agency and I say, okay, my goal is to be an agency owner. I want that. I think a lot of people watch someone else run a business and they may not know what it means to be a business owner. Like what are the responsibilities, but also what's the financial commitment in order to own a business? I don't care if it's an agency. I don't care if it's a marketing company, a consulting company, a financial planning, like whatever it is, there's a commitment financially to do that. And there's such an opportunity in our industry to do that. But I share this with you prior to recording. You know, our industry doesn't do a good job preparing people to know how to step into ownership. If you're an accountant or you're a lawyer, there is a pathway to partnership that you know at a certain trigger point, you're going to be able to do this and that you need to buy in. So there is some level of understanding of what it takes to get from here to there. Here, that doesn't happen. It really doesn't. We don't even have that culture in this industry. So tell me, Eric, let's use Lindsay as an example. Let's say she wants to eventually be a business owner. That's what her value is. I want to own my own thing. What should I be doing today to set myself up for that tomorrow?
Yeah. Okay. So there's two things there that I want to separate out. Okay. There's one in learning to be a business owner. So the skill set necessary to run a business. And I can speak to that as a business owner. And the other part of that is what's necessary financially to prepare myself to take advantage of that opportunity. That's probably more my wheelhouse when we talk about financial planning and whatnot. So I would say number one. So let's wrap up. Let me tie off this idea of mindset for a second. Okay. One of the biggest mistakes I see young people do and young producers and young agency owners is they try to accumulate too much too quick. And that's problematic because when you're in growth mode, when you're trying to grow, you're thinking about becoming rich because we all want to be rich, right? Because rich gives us freedom. Sometimes we're not patient enough, and wealth is not built overnight. Wealth is built over time. One of my favorite Proverbs says, whoever gathers a wealth made hastily dwindles, but whoever gathers little by little keeps it. Okay. And this is mindset. I am not going to jump in and accumulate everything my mom and dad did in 30 years. I'm not gonna be able to do it in 5. That's part of the mindset. And that's part of building patience, right? I look back over my career and think like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking when I was 25? I was trying to build something so fast. It's taken me 20 years at 44 to be able to sit back and say, oh, cool. I've built something. I built something nice and it's sustainable and it continues to grow. It's not 40% growth, 50% growth, right? You see those agencies, you see people make big splashes. You can't sustain that growth. And sometimes that growth doesn't stick, right? You see growth come in the front door and it leave the back door. So I think that's a mindset, right? Is don't try to accumulate everything in 5 years with your parents or what someone else already has. Number two, when you're looking around at other agency owners, you see the window dressing. You don't see all the work, all the years of sacrifice that went into it. And I think it's really important, especially in our space with social media. And this is not a knock to anybody in our space on social media, but as young agents, we can say, oh, I want what they have. Now, you don't see the 10 years of sacrifice, the 15 years of sacrifice. You don't see the you know, Daniel Sung talks about this very publicly. You don't see the 5 years of never taking one vacation and eating noodles or whatever, you know, you listen to his story. You don't see that.
Right.
Right? Like people worked hard to build what they have. So be very careful who you take your cues from. Right. And then kind of, so that's kind of like the mindset, right? Now let's start to move into some of the tactics of it. As young people, typically you don't have the capital that maybe someone who's been around a little bit longer, you haven't had time to amass savings or wealth that someone else, who's 10 years or 15 years ahead of you has had. However, you can start to build your social capital. Surround yourself with people who are going to be able to resource you with some of the skills, with the support that you need to be successful, right? Give me people who I can call up, ask for advice, seek mentorship from, who are going to pour into me over $5,000 in my bank account any day. Because the advice that you're going to get from those people is so, it's almost like when in 2007, 2008, so Katrina hit New Orleans in 2005, 2006. At that time, I was still working actively on the captive side. And my parents had this idea to send me to get my master's degree. You should go get your master's degree. I'm like, master's degree is going to do me nothing. You're going to waste your money. You're going to waste your money if you pay for me to go. Yeah, but it's important. That's an immigrant mentality. Education is always a good thing. They came to this country, advance your education. You never know. And the compromise was, all right, I'll tell you what, hire me a business coach. I'll get one-on-one instruction specific to my business and building my business and where I want to go. And that's what we ended up doing, right? It cost, what, $12,000 to hire him at the time. It wasn't cheap. There was a huge time commitment, but the stuff I learned was far more valuable than the money. So people, right? People can pour into you. So build your social capital, build your network. Young people have the ability to do that. And do not, I think this is something that you hear all these stories, Karen, you probably know what I'm talking about. You hear these stories about our parents or maybe even some of our peers who are like, I'm going to go work for free for a month. And if you like me, hire me, right? We wouldn't think about doing that today, right? It just doesn't, compute. But that idea, that ethic plays out is be hungry and people will recognize that and they'll give opportunities that they might not have given opportunities to other people. It could be the fact that, you know what, I'm going to let you buy my agency and I really like you. I don't need three times. I'm willing to sell it to you for 2.5. Like I've seen that because they want their clients taken care of. And so people, you surround yourself with people, pour into people.
So Eric, the thing that you said that I just have to mention, because it was our strategy when I was young, I was very conscious of wanting to be financially independent. I wanted to have options. And so my biggest thing was I don't ever want to be paycheck to paycheck. You never want to do or repeat what you've seen happen before you. So our biggest deal was we only lived on one salary. Like when my husband and I both worked, we only ever lived on one salary. And it was intentional because he was in sales. That fluctuated. He is to this day a very, very successful salesperson. But, you know, when we were first starting out, it was commission only. We lived in DC, two young people. I got married at 21. So like not a lot of wealth built there in one of the most expensive cities to live in. And I had a steady income and he had a fluctuating. So our deal was we only ever lived on one income. We're watching people buy houses faster than us, do things faster than us. But by the time, if you do that, you're disciplined. I could stay home for 12 years with my kids because we were already disciplined to live on one. So I also think what's most important to you, you have to be true to it when you watch everyone else starting to do things that maybe you can't do. And that's true everywhere, but you have to stay true to what's most important. So setting that value is important and actually being on the same page with what that value is was really important, you know?
I think you're reading my notes, because my second tactic, Carrie, is spending. Is you have to be uber conscious of spending, right? You work, you earn money. Every single dollar you earn is one brick, if you will, in the foundation of your wealth. And if you spend it all, guess what you're not doing? You're not building wealth. And if you don't stop to build wealth and an opportunity presents itself and you don't have any wealth, guess what happens? It's going to pass you by, right? And if you spend more than you make, I mean, you're going into debt. That's bad debt. Consumer debt's bad debt. You might have to go into debt to start your business. Business debt is acceptable as long as it's appropriate. But you got to have your spending under control. You got to manage your cash flow, because cash flow, you know this as in your work, Carrie, cash flow is the lifeblood of a business. How many good businesses have you seen fail because they run out of cash? It's not a bad business. It's a great business model. They just run out of cash. Same thing on the personal side. If you don't manage your cash flow wisely, if you don't spend wisely, you're not going to have cash to take advantage of an opportunity like a business purchase. Or if you're going to start a scratch agency, right? You might need to cash flow yourself for 6 months or 12 months.
So when we're talking about starting to build that wealth, and like, then my mind goes, okay, so where does it go? What is your normal recommendation for like how much should be in a savings account, how much should be in a retirement account, how much should be in some type of investment?
I think Lindsay's reading my notes too, because my next tactic is saving. Right? Oh my goodness. You Wallace girls are, y'all are like mind readers.
Hey man, we've got a year of this under our belt now. We're getting there.
Come on. So one of my pillars of financial security is save for tomorrow. And I thought about it pretty intentionally. We say save for tomorrow, not save for retirement, save for tomorrow. I actually think sometimes my industry puts this idea in your mind that if you're not saving for retirement, you're doing something bad. And I would actually say, look, if you're young and you're looking to start a business, maybe maxing out your retirement plan is not the smartest thing for you to do. Like, financial advice is super specific. We all have different circumstances, right? And it's really hard to say, well, you should have X amount in this type of account and X amount in this type of account, because I don't know your situation. I don't know anything about you. So here's what I would say. Save for tomorrow. I break up savings into three different places. Number one, short-term savings. I call it the oh crap account. You know, oh crap, the transmission went out. Oh crap, you know, my AC went out in July in New Orleans and I need to fix it because it's really hot. You know, last thing you want to do is swipe your credit card or borrow for that type of thing. So that's your short-term savings. General rule of thumb is six times your living expenses. That's not always easy to do, especially for a young person. So my typical advice would be like, what's the biggest, like the worst thing that could possibly happen that you can think of right now that you would need money for, and how much would it cost you? Right? Okay. It would cost you $5,000. So let's work on getting $5,000 in a savings account. Boring. Don't invest it. Just whatever, you know, a lot of financial planning is peace of mind, right? Some people want to have more in savings, and that's cool, right? I can't see because the camera angle is real narrow, but if you can imagine all the possible decisions you can make on a spectrum, okay? And on a shorter spectrum within that spectrum are what I would say are good financial decisions. On either side would be poor, would be what I would call foolish decisions. My job as a financial planner is just to get you into what I would say is an acceptable financial decision. It might not be what I would do, but it's within that acceptable spectrum, if that makes sense. So you want to have something in a short-term savings account. It's $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. That's going to vary depending on your income as well. If you make a lot of money and you live on 50% of your income, well, you have 50% of your income that I would say is discretionary. It's free cash that you can use to cover yourself for an unexpected expense. So you might not need as much, right? But if you're if you've got a small income and you have very little financial margin in your monthly spending, you need more in a savings account because you can't dip into your income, right? So that's obviously very specific to the person. Next, I would say, I'm going to go out of order here. So we talked about short-term savings, your oh crap account, and then your long-term savings is going to be retirement. Now, I said that it might be a bad idea for some young people to max out their retirement plans. However, I think that everyone should be saving towards their retirement, even if it's $25, even if it's $50, right? This is a habit. Habits take time to build, right? So even a little bit can build up over time, especially for a young person who has 40 years ahead of them. You should be putting money away into a retirement account, forgetting about it. Even if it's a small amount, work your way up to a bigger amount when you can. And then the third place where I talk about saving money, I call it a work optional account. This is just where a lot of my clients find themselves. I used to call it an independence account. I still call it that depending on the client, but this is an account that it's not for 40 years out in retirement. It's not for an emergency. My emergency fund is funded. I don't want to keep putting money in a savings account earning almost nothing. And I want to have access to it, so I can't put in a retirement account. So this work optional account that I call it, it's just a regular investment account that I have access to. It's extra money that I'm saving, that I'm investing. A business opportunity comes across my path, I can stop and say, let me think about this. Does it make sense? Hey, you know, I've got $25,000, $30,000 in my work optional account, $50,000, or my independence account. Maybe this is a good investment for me. But the point is, we're building liquidity, and liquidity is going to give you options. So that kind of answers your question, Lindsay, but those are the three places where I would be saving money. Now, let me get a little bit even more nuanced for you. If you tell me, hey, Eric, look, travel is really important to me, and that's something that we want to make sure that it's just like, if I don't travel, like I'm going to go crazy, you know? So I want to make sure that I can do a trip, even if it's a small trip every year. I would say, okay, cool. Let's open an account and name it travel. It is a value of yours. Let's name it. When you name it and put money in it, it's less likely that you're going to use it for anything else. So I'm a big fan of naming accounts, consistent, aligned with your values. If you're a giver, if you're a big giver and you're helping, you know, fund a particular project, well, let's open an account specific for that, for your year-end giving, if that's how you're going to do it. Let's separate that money so it's out of sight, out of mind. But it starts with your spending, right? Keeping your spending in line.
What do you think are some of the biggest mistakes you've seen people make starting out? Like, you know, for me, I probably like an auxiliary benefit of having you on this podcast is my mom's been telling me I need to call you for like easily 2 years now. I'm just putting it out there, 2 years now, and nothing against you. Like, I just, money illiterate over here, like being real with you. So I'm sure I've done certain things that you're like, holy crap, Lindsay, like banging my head against the wall. But what are some of the common things that you see people do that are mistakes or pitfalls?
Yeah. Okay. A few. Now, I, on my podcast, I recently had on, who's become a friend. He's like a 3 or 4 time guest on my podcast. He's in the college planning space. So I had him on recently and I said, this is the most selfish podcast I've ever recorded because I have a junior who's preparing for college and I just asked him all my questions. So this is the privilege that you have, Lindsay, as podcast host.
That's right.
Let me say three things. Okay. I've talked about one of them, trying to accumulate what my parents accumulated in a very short period of time. That's a mistake. Number two, this is a hard one, right? Because this comes right up against, like, we're dealing with people's like desires and passions, is the whole YOLO idea. You only live once, right? I get that. I appreciate that. But you're going to get to a point in life where you realize like, oh crap. I spent all that money on this and I don't even, you know, it wasn't even, whatever. Like, yeah, I get it. You only live once and you want to be real conscious of spending money that you've worked hard for on things that are fun. But at the same time, I think as humans, I think it's good for us to maybe deny ourselves some desires that we have. I think that's healthy for us as humans, as opposed to like, indulging ourselves in every thing that we want to do because we only live once. So I'd say there has to be a balance with that idea. Number three, I would say probably, and these are probably not the answers that you were thinking, like, oh, you know, you invested in the wrong investment, right? That's what most people would think. But again, to me, that's noise. I think if you don't have mindset right first, you know, if you took a chance on Bitcoin or crypto, that's kind of, yeah, that's important, but that doesn't tell the whole story. So the third thing I would say is, you ignore your money. You say, I don't get it. I don't like it. I'm just going to ignore it and not make any decisions about it. I think that's problematic.
Inaction.
I did a lot of collaboration with a couples counselor, and we still collaborate today. Matt Morris, he's a family therapist. And I've learned so much about financial planning just through him and understanding how counselors counsel and they deliver advice. And we often talked about that in our culture, money is almost more taboo to talk about than sex. That more people are willing to talk about their sex lives than they are to talk about their finances. For some reason, there's a lot of shame around finances, and it prevents people from engaging it. Like my dad always told me, he goes, son, you show me someone's checkbook or their account statement, and I can tell you what's in their heart, right? Oh, that's kind of, ooh, that cuts, right? Like, oh my gosh, I can say what's important to you by how you spend your money. And I would say those are probably the three biggest mistakes. And then we can start talking about, like, you know, chasing money, right? Especially in the past 3 years since the pandemic, the amount of conversations I've had with people about like meme stocks and, you know, I'm going to buy this stock and get rich because it's going to hit any day now. Right. And that's not how people get wealthy.
But Eric, I got to tell you, I would say the same thing from a business standpoint. I think not paying attention to it and not being intentional about it is one of the biggest mistakes you can make, because time passes and then you lose the power of the time by being intentional. Financial decisions are not big. They're actually consistent over time. Make them big decisions. You know what I mean? Like, so in my mind, It applies to what I do as well. So if you are not intentional and you're not paying attention to your business finances, you then change what your opportunities are when you have to make a decision, because the inaction was a decision. Same thing with personal finances. Like, if you are intentional and you make steps, it puts you in a position to have more opportunity at the next point than if you did nothing. And I think that you've given some great ideas about what do you do personally to position yourself for tomorrow in order to figure that out. But it really correlates to the same kind of advice I give about business, right?
I've come to learn this over the past few years is, you know, as we're you and I, we're kind of like consultants, right? We consult with people about money. Okay, just in different spaces, right? Where there's some overlapping, but we consult with people. And here's what I've learned over the past few years about one of the greatest values that I add to my clients. Yes, we make decisions on investments, and yes, I help you save money in doing some future tax planning. But particularly for business owners, one of the greatest values that I can add is I help you make big decisions faster. And when you make bigger decisions faster, sometimes you save a ton of money, right? You also save a ton of like mental anguish and emotional anxiety because you're making decisions faster, and you're moving forward. And sometimes, like you said, not making a decision is making a decision, and delaying something that if you would have made the decision sooner, it could have saved you a ton of money.
That's right. That's right. Well, Eric, I love having you on here, and we knew this was going to happen. We could talk about this topic forever, but we are going to bring you back on. The next topic is going to be, what about current owners? How do you diversify what you have, and where should you be investing and building your agency as well as building your wealth and making sure that it's not all in one place? You know, I can't wait to tackle that topic with you. But in the meantime, if our listeners want to reach out to you, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, great. So if you just Google me, Eric Garcia, you'll find me. But if you go to, I've got my my page for agency professionals is agentendgame.com. Agentendgame.com. You can find me there. And of course, plan-wisely.com is my main page. All roads lead to plan-wisely.com. But there's a good chance that we're in a Facebook group together or a link. You can find me on LinkedIn. So it shouldn't be too hard to find me. Go to Carrie's friends and look for me.
Only one.
None of those work for you.
Good to have you and good to see you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and giving us such great insights, Eric. I can't wait until we meet again very, very soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Insurance Refocus podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to hit subscribe and leave us a review so you'll never miss us. Want to learn more about how Agency Focus can help you grow your agency? Head to agency-focus.com or email Carrie directly at carrie@agency-focus.com. If you need to get in touch with me, feel free to shoot me an email at lindsay@agency-focus.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.